Blog Talk Radio.
So, you want to be a hero? Here are some ways to get the job. Hunt down that killer shark. Or run into a burning house to save a kitten. Luckily, there's an easier way to become a hero. Call 911 if you see someone experiencing the symptoms of stroke, sudden weakness on one side, or trouble speaking, walking, or seeing. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. You'll be a real hero. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Every year, millions of Americans are exposed to a contagious virus.
What is this virus? It's stigma.
Stigma promotes an environment of shame,
fear, and silence,
which prevents millions of people from seeking help.
But there's good news.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness believes stigma towards mental illness is 100% curable.
So do yourself and everyone a favor.
Go to curestigma.org and get tested for stigma.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
AdoptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., so if you're 50 or older, it's time. Screening helps find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Did you know there's more than one screening test? Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
I see it all the time. They leave early in the morning and come back very late.
The curtains, they're always closed. And there's so many people living in that house.
I know. They look scared all the time. It seems like he runs the show.
He's always talking for them.
Seems friendly enough, though.
I'm not even sure if it's the same people I saw last week.
This doesn't make any sense. We have to tell someone. We need to report this.
Modern-day slavery is happening in our own backyard. Know the signs and join the Blue Campaign in the fight to end human trafficking. Call 1-866-347-2423 or go to www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign for more information.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Thank you for all your support. Again, we're past a million downloads, and if you've missed any of the shows, you can check them out on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. I'm not sure. I think we're having a little scheduling issue with the surfers. They're probably out catching a wave, dude, okay? but we might have to reschedule unless this might be one of them here. Let me see. Let's see.
Hello.
Good morning. Is this Lou? Hi, Lou.
Good morning. This is Lou. I'm so sorry. Yeah, we had a little 9/11
paddle out, surf paddle out here in New York right here. So I just got on my wetsuit, just got out of the shower.
Look at there, people, a true surfer. Yeah, definitely. This is 9/11, and a lot of people have lost friends and family, or they were just there in the middle of New York. I have friends who were in New York near the buildings when they were coming down, telling me about the dust and everything. So it is, even after all this time, it's still very,
it's very special
issue.
It's very special here because one of the surfers, there's a guy here. His name is Stephen Bells Belson. So Stephen Bells Belson was a firefighter. So he was, you know, surfing beautiful waves on 9/11. So when he was in the water, you could see the smoke coming from Jamaica Bay, right from the beach. And then he got out of the water, went there and died. And there was another surfer who lived here. His name is Richie Allen. He was a firefighter. And he was just getting off his shift when the plane hit. He was coming home to Rockaway here to surf. And when the plane hit, he stayed, went back, and died. So.
Wow. So crazy stories like that, really. You know, the last person that was pulled out of the World Trade Center was a woman. Her name was Janelle Guzman McMillan. She was under the wreckage for 27 hours. And so she's alive now, and she has a family, and she's doing well. But she was there for 27 hours, and so I just wanted to give a shout-out to Janelle Guzman McMillan on 9/11 and what she went through. But today we're talking about some surf. Right now I have on the line Lou Harris. He was born in Queens and grew up in Dix Hill, Long Island. He moved to Rockaway in 2006. And he's been teaching himself to surf, and now he teaches other young people to surf to help improve his community. So, Lou Harris, when was the first time you got on the wave, and did you fall, or were you successful?
The first time I started surfing was 15 years ago, and here in Rockaway. And I'm happy because I had knee surgery this time last year, I surfed 3 days of this hurricane, so yeah, I'm very proud of myself. You know, my daughter's out there with me. A lot of the kids in my program are out there with me. So yeah, we're having a lot of fun.
Now, are there certain waves that are better than others? Is it the higher the wave? Is it the wider? How do you determine? Okay, let me jump on this one.
Well, being a surfer, like you have to be like a meteorologist. You gotta, you know, check the swells. You got to check the tides. You got to check the rip currents and all that kind of stuff. You know, because being a surfer, you have to know all that. You just can't say, okay, I'm gonna go surf today. But that day you might surf, there might be crazy rip tides. That day you might surf, there might be a hurricane. That day you might surf, it might be flat with no waves. So you got to be on top of it. So like with me, I have an app that I use that puts me in touch with the waves. I know it 5 days in advance.
Wow, what's the name of the app that you're using?
I use Surfline. So Surfline.com, Surfline Rockaway. There's actually three of them. One's called SwellInfo.com. That's not too accurate. You have another one called Magic Seaweed, and then you have Surfline.
Now, what's a riptide? Because, you know, us lay people don't know what a riptide is. And also, what is a swell?
Okay, a swell is big waves coming. That's when people are like, I'm waiting for the swell to come. Or people would say, the swell was bigger than predicted. And then a riptide, which I show this to all my kids before they get in, and people don't know this, that 75% of youth drownings are African-American kids because they don't know what these things are. So riptides pretty much are two bodies of water that merge together, and then they form like a conveyor belt, and it kind of sucks you out. Now, with the experienced surfer, you could use that riptide to get you out to the break where all the surfers are, to the lineup. And the lineup is when you paddle out to the wave, and the lineup is where all the guys are, where all your friends are, the lineup. So, yeah.
Mm. Wow. Now, let's talk about the board. Is a bigger, wider board? Is it longer? The curve of the board? What makes the board special? And you say, okay, I need to buy this board. This will help me surf better.
Well, you got to think of it this way, too. Like, one thing I tell the parents and I tell the kids when they want to go shopping for a board, you got to think of it this way. Like, you know, so let's say this. Let's say you have a small wave that day. You're going to use a big board. Let's say that you have a big wave that day. you're going to use a short board. So the bigger the wave, the shorter the board. The smaller the wave, the bigger the board. That's how it goes. Yeah, and then with me, like, you know, I like to have two or three, you know, because it might be a small day. You have a long board. It might be a big day, you need, like say. So, and yeah, and like, you know, and you call that a quiver. Like when you have like two, three, four boards, it's called a quiver.
Now, what about competition? How would somebody start getting into competitions? Do you talk to your kids about that? Is that the goal of the camp, or is the goal of the camp to try to just expand their minds and get them connected with the water? What's the goal?
No. The goal is to just, you know, get them in touch with the water at a young age so they're comfortable. Also, to eventually get them into contests. Like, we actually have a contest tomorrow. Like the guy I told you about who died, Richie Allen. Since he died, every September 11th to 12th, we have a contest in his name for the past 20 years. So tomorrow we have a contest, kids from Long Beach, kids from, you know, Rockaway here, and they're all going to rip, and I'm going to put my daughter in it tomorrow.
Wow. How old is your daughter?
11.
When did she first get on the board?
When she was – I got her when she was 7. Yeah, she's – she's my wife's daughter. Yeah, she's my wife's daughter, but that's my daughter. So, but I got her out there when she was 7, and she couldn't swim. I taught her how to swim a little bit, but she was nervous about that. But she's one of my best surfers.
Get out of here! So now, do you have to know how to swim before you surf, or can you just start surfing and like kind of like paddle like a dog?
No.
you got to know how to swim, right?
You know, you don't have to know how to swim to surf. No. Like, because the board's a flotation device.
Okay.
Now,
where in the world are some of the best waves? Where's the best place to go surfing if you had your choice?
If I had my choice, the best, I would probably say California, probably San Onofre, because San Onofre has like a long left. And a left means that's the way that you go on your board. When you paddle and you paddle for the wave, you know, you're going to turn your body left. And when I say a long left, California is notorious for these long, long, long waves. Like one of my friends, he's actually my new friend, but one of my friends that I met through Instagram, because he published an issue with my BSA kids, is the actor Jonah Hill. And Jonah Hill is like one of our biggest supporters, and he surfs out in California, and he surfs this wave that is just never ending. I mean, here in Rockaway, you get on a wave, it's over in, 30 seconds, if that, maybe 20 seconds. But in California, that wave is a good 60 to a minute, which is, and that's my dream to go. So.
Now, how about in places like Australia or like Asia, different countries, or Africa? Are there places out there that are good to surf if you had a chance to?
Oh, yeah, of course. Australia, I wouldn't too much. There's a lot of sharks in that water, a lot of sharks. And Africa, of course. I forgot the country there. I forgot which one it was. But the water is notoriously hot. It's like 88 degrees hot, the water. So, and it's like, you know, it's not that big of a wave, but it's a long, consistent wave, so.
Now, how does somebody get connected with the camp? Where can they call you? Can they email you? How can they get connected with you and get kids?
Well, we have our website, but mostly Instagram. And like Instagram, I love it because it's free marketing. So people, they just go on that and they just, the Instagram, that's how I got a lot of my, a lot of the stuff that I've done. That's how I got on Rolling Stone. That's how I got on Today Show at Al Roker, you know, that's how I got in, you know, National Geographic, Fox 5, NBC, all through Instagram. They'll message you through there. And it's funny, too, because 5 years ago when I started doing this, CNN, BET, all these companies that, you know, are hunting me down now, I was begging for them. And now and it's funny because now the shoe's on the other foot. So it's a beautiful thing.
That's crazy. So tell us about some of these phrases. Like some cool phrases for surfers to say, like that to each other, you know, like code language you guys have.
Code language? It's not too really, because that sounds kind of nerdy. Yeah, we don't really see that. I mean, you'll see that movie.
What about like drop in, pull in, kick out? Do you have any of that?
I'll say something like outside, because there's a big wave coming. Or I'll say watch out for this, because like there's certain people that I'll know that can't surf, and I told my kids to stay away from them because they're going to hurt you, or they're going to break your board. So my kids just, you know, and I have 7-year-olds out there, and the 8-year-olds that are saying that they're saying the same stuff that I say. So, and you got to watch out what you say and how you say it. You got to keep it professional and very kid friendly because, you know, kids' brains are like sponges. They soak everything up. They do everything you do. So.
Yeah. Now, what about backwash? Do you know that phrase and backside? What
of course. Yeah. Backwash is just that heavy drainage, that water that, come, it's like that, you know, that whitewash that it's pretty notorious. It's kind of like where all the riptides are, right in there, and that's the kind of thing that you want to stay away from. And one of my students kept saying, he's like, Mr. Wu, we should paddle out over there because this backwash here is insane. And I'm like, dude, you like to use too many words. He goes, stop talking. Let's just go surfing.
Oh my gosh! Now, can also people donate? Is that on Instagram, or is there like a go?
No,
what,
no.
What kind
we have
of
a website
place,
set up.
Where can they send money? Okay.
We have a website set up with PayPal, but right now there's a problem with the link. I keep getting people hitting me up. I had somebody early before said, "How do I donate?" There's a problem with the link, and I haven't contacted PayPal. But right now, what people have been doing is they've just been bringing checks to the beach. That's what they do. They bring checks to the beach, and we have a BSA account. And then I just take the beach. I mean, take the checks and put it in the account. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because we had this one kid, and, you know, and he's like, a white kid. But again, it doesn't matter what color you are. I mean, any kid's welcome to BSA. But this kid was rich. So when his parents were bringing him in a Porsche SUV. They brought him once in a BMW. And I'm like, oh, man. I was like, you know, I said, this really isn't for kids like that who got money, you know. And then I was really going to say something, but I didn't say anything. And guess what? 2 days later, the father gave me a $500 check donation out of nowhere.
See?
So I was like, wow. And, you know, and because, you know, because you get a lot of parents in my program who, you know, whose kids have been in my program, you know, for free. You know, and I give out free surfboards with, you know, we give out free sneakers, stuff like that. So a lot of these kids' parents, kids who've gotten tons of stuff, they never did that. And this guy, you know, who I was thinking, wow, this kid's rich. I don't think this is for him because they can afford it. But he showed me. I called my mother that night. I'm like, Mommy, guess what? This guy here, his kid didn't get nothing free from me. But guess what? The father gave me $500. And the father pulled me aside. He said, you know what, Mr. Lou, you're teaching my kid something I can't teach him. You know, so that was beautiful.
You never know. Like, you never know in life where your blessings are going to come from, you know, and it could be the least expected place that a blessing comes from. What is the feeling that you have when you're surfing, Lou? What do you think about, you know, do you dream about surfing and certain moves? What's your spirituality connection with the surfing and the waves?
Oh, no, it's definitely it's therapeutic. It's definitely when you're in the water, like today, you know, we've had 3 hurricane days of Hurricane Larry. So, you know, we had a couple of the young kids in the water, and I was telling the kids, you know, because they're out there chatting and laughing and talking. And I told them, I said, listen, this is a hurricane wave. So we got to be serious out here. You know, we got to take this serious. You know, like when my little brother died of an aggressive cancer a few years ago, it killed him in five weeks. And, you know, he died in Arizona. So my mother and father, they watched him die out there, and I couldn't go out there. I had a job. I couldn't get time off. So the only thing that helped me was in the water. And that's one thing about when you're in the water. When you're in the water, you know, there's no drama. There's no child support. There's no I'm back on my rent. There's no I just broke up with this guy. You know, you forget all that when you're in the water. When you're in the water, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's just you and them waves. And you got to think about your safety out there. When you're out of the water, it's back to reality. Now you're like, oh, shit, I owe $200 in rent. Oh, my God. He just went over me. So you're back to reality. You got out of the water. So, yeah.
Now, I just want to tell the audience, in the 1940s, during Jim Crow era, in Santa Monica, there was the Inkwell Beach. And one of the first African-American surfers, his name was Nick, I think, Gabaldon. Or
Gabaldon.
Colin. Do you know that?
Yeah. Gabaldon.
And do you teach your kids about the history of African Americans or people of color in surfing? Or is it just about the physicality of surfing?
Mm-hmm. No, we teach them about that kind of stuff, too, because, you know, people always ask me about, you know, and that's one thing I did here in Rockaway. I'm the one that, you know, bridged that gap with the black surfing scene. And then one thing I tell kids, you know, about Nick Aledon is Nick Aledon, they didn't want him surfing in Malibu. You know, that was a white mm-hmm. beach. So Nick Aledon, who had to surf 40 miles on his board, I think it was 40, I forgot, but it was a long distance, to go surf Inkwell. Because they said, we don't want your kind here. Why don't you go surf Inkwell where all the colors are? And that's why they call it Inkwell, because it's black. Black ink.
Yeah.
So they said, that's why, you know, that's what they call Inkwell. So that's why all your colors belong over there. So he would paddle, like I said, 40 miles to go surf that wave.
Do you think it's better now? Are people more receptive now? Or are people still having issue of, don't be on this side of the beach? Don't come here.
No, that's changed. And not to mention, I'm Lou Harris at the BSA. Nobody gives me no problems here. Nobody, never.
Never.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. Everyone sees you. Yeah, they don't want no problems with me.
So you like the BMOC, the big man on campus, and nobody's bothering you. I was reading about
also
Rhonda.
Too,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
About Rhonda. She's in Africa right now, and they were having really bad weather over there, and she told me that their internet was in and out. So I'm sure she wishes she could be calling in now, but one of the things I did read about her was that her nephews, they were getting stopped all the time, and people wanted to take pictures like a circus act with them because they had never seen black people, you know, in surf suits. So
yeah,
I think it
wet
is
suits,
still,
yeah.
still happening depending on where you are. But what were you going to say earlier, Lou?
Oh, no. I know. I was just going to say, you know, a lot of kids, you know, it's just like, you know, Venus and Serena Williams. You know, they're from Compton, California. You know, they're from the land of gangs and drugs and violence. And their father gave the opportunity. And the opportunity was, hey, listen, I know where we live. And he got them up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to take them to tennis lessons at 7 a.m. to Nick Vallatieri Tennis Academy. And that's what he did. It's all about the opportunity. And that's what we're doing right now. And if, and that's also, too, what Rhonda's doing. Rhonda's out in Senegal. She's giving those kids something that they've never seen before. She's giving those kids curly clothes. You know, she's going above and beyond, you know, in this surfing industry. And I got to say, you know, my hat's off to Rhonda. I wish she could have been here for the phone call, but again, and don't think that she is just blowing smoke and she's missing this today. No, she and I talk at least twice a week.
No, we've been talking back and forth too. Yeah.
Yes. No, it's the internet. Yeah. So, but again, she's done such amazing things for the girls of color and this, you know, POC and things like that. And not to mention, you know, she's an inspiration to me. You know, I get some ideas from her, which is a beautiful thing. So, yeah. So, I mean, I see why you'd want her on this call today, but she's just an amazing soul. And again, like I said, she's given opportunity to people that don't do that. I mean, she's one of God's angels. You know, she is.
Now, what about age? You talk about young people, but what if I'm 50 or I'm 60 or I'm 70? Can I? Is it too late for me? Can I learn how to surf, or is my body not going to be as agile or flexible as a 15-year-old or something?
It's going to be a little hard if you're 60 or 70, but I would say, you know what, why not give it a shot? I'm not going to discourage you, but yeah, definitely, yeah, you can get out there.
Yeah. Now, how are you, what's your relationship with, like, the national surfing, like, organizations? Do they help you or help you with sponsorship or anything like that, getting into contests? Do they oversee what you're doing,
or
are you not connected?
No, I take care of everything myself. I like to be hands-on. I don't like to have too many people, too many hands in my cookie jar. You know, I like to do my own thing. Listen, like Tyler Perry, that's why he's so direct. That's why Tyler Perry is so oversees everything, because you get that one, two people that come in and they,
mess up everything.
But if you ever want to come out to Rockaway, you're more than welcome to come out to surf.
And what time do people get up to go surfing in Rockaway?
Oh, I'm up every morning. Well, I work out on the beach to do push-ups and get ready, but I'm up every morning and most surfers, we all, it's called dawn patrol. It's, dawn patrol is a term which means that you're up at the crack of dawn and you're checking those waves. And then that's what I do.
So you're
I'm
like
out there
at
5:30.
Like 5 o'clock? 5:30? Okay.
No, I'm at 5:45.
And that, is that when is the camp, or when do the kids come out? After school or what?
8:30, they come in the morning. So during the summer, they come,
oh, they
in, the
come
morning,
in the morning,
8:30, 8:45, okay. And now the kids are back to school. Now we do it on the weekends.
Okay, on the weekends. Well, thank you so much, Lou, for coming on today. I think it's been really informative. And people, again, the word black and surfer, they probably never
Don't
even
miss.
Seen in their lifetime or heard of.
Like I tell
but
people,
it's out there.
Like I tell people all the. Like I tell people all the time, you know, they always say the same thing, you know, they're like, yo, black people, I don't see black people, you know, and it's like, it's, you know, it's like seeing a Chinese girl with a big butt. That's something that you don't see, you know what I'm saying? Like when you see a black server, or you see it, and that's the kind of thing, when you see that Chinese girl with a big butt, you're like, oh, I remember that. And it's like seeing a black server, oh, I remember that. That's something that you don't forget, you know?
But it's,
okay,
it's available,
but thank you for having
everyone.
Me on. I appreciate it. Yes. Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you so much. Good luck with everything, Lou. Thank you again.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye bye.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. Bye bye. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Just got off the phone with Lou Harris over at the Black Surfer Association East Coast. He's in Rockaway. You want to check him out on Instagram. He's helping a lot of kids out there, but he still needs more help. He's paying for things himself with surfboards and sneakers. But always more is better. He can bring more kids into the fold, so to speak, and teach them about surfing. And he did say if you're 50 or 60, you could stop by Rockaway around 5 o'clock. Well, he said 5:45 in the morning he's out there getting himself together to surf. So check him out. Thank you again for listening to the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. And you guys know I do giveaways, so that's why you want to follow. Last week I gave away books. You know, maybe I'll give away a gift card. Now people are getting back to shows. You never know. So you want to follow on the social media. And on Facebook we have a group. So I would suggest joining the group. The page is okay, but, you know, these algorithms they do, the group, you can get the announcements faster. So join the group and see what's happening with the show. And I hope you guys have a great weekend, and thank you again for all your support.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs, act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.